getting rebounds like Charles Barkley, snatching his damn.
Shoot the J. Shoot it!
He was getting rebounds like Charles Barkley, snatching his damn.
Shoot the J. Shoot it!
He was getting rebounds like Charles Barkley, snatching his damn.
Shoot the J.
He was getting rebounds like Charles Barkley, snatching his damn.
Shoot the J.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Shoot the J podcast. I'm your host, John Jenkins. So many fun things going on in the NBA offseason. That's why I love NBA. Like, I love basketball. It's all year round. Like, we've already crowned a champion. We've worked on the draft just finished. NBA awards just finished. Trades are happening. Free agency is going to go crazy July 1st. We got a new Drake album coming out. I don't know. I'm just excited about a lot of things. But first off in the show, just a quick little rundown. I'm going to talk about mad stuff because I'm just mad hype. If you can't tell in my voice already. So first to lead the show, we're going to talk about free agency. July 1st, free agents can start signing with certain teams. You know, a lot of teams have been out there courting different players, I might say. The Lakers throwing everything but the kitchen sink to try and get Kawhi Leonard to come there. He stated that he wants to be in a bigger market, but LA is his main destination that he wants to go to. So we'll see if the Lakers can make that come to fruition. We have Paul George, who decided to opt out of his contract. Now, a lot of people are tripping. It's like, oh, he's going to Lakers. People, when you opt out of a contract, that just means that the money that you were due that year, you don't want it, and you're going to reconstruct for a higher, you know, for higher pay. So Paul George can do another one-year deal with the Thunder if he really wants to do one more go-around, you know, get a nice little max one-year deal. And then in 2019, when the pot includes Kyrie Irving, Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony, LeBron James, if he doesn't like the team that he goes to in offseason, or if he stays with the Cavs for another season, you know that's only a one-year deal. Heavy hitters like Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins. Like, hitters are this the 2019 free agency class is going to be crazy. So that's the free agency class that people are really waiting for. But if you can get a good deal now, go ahead, get it. Longevity is key. But if you can get something now, go ahead and do it. Like I said, Paul George opting out doesn't necessarily mean he's going to leave the Thunder, but the stars are starting to align as to, you know, leading to his departure. So apparently he has this ESPN feature that he has coming up regarding free agency. I'm not sure if you saw the decision or how well that worked out the first time someone televised their free agency move. So I'm just going to let Paul George think that's cool. See if that works for him. Probably won't. But, we'll go from there on that. But I'll go back to Kawhi Leonard for a second because, listen, Kawhi's adamant about leaving the Spurs. So it's nothing negative. Spurs haven't done anything negative, anything like that. He's just ready to move on, which we all have done in our lives when we're somewhere and then we're just like, all right, cool. Like, I've outgrown the situation. Like, I want to venture on my own. I want to do something for myself, which is okay. Like, in the world where bettering yourself is the American dream, it's the goal, I suggest you do that. You know, you've won Defensive Player of the Year, you've won Finals MVP, you've won a chip. So you kind of, you must feel like, okay, San Antonio, I've reached the pinnacle, I've done what I wanted to do, let me do that somewhere else. And Magic Johnson, you know, even though he says there's no pressure, Magic Johnson has to deliver. He has to deliver. You know, it's cool you played in finals. It's cool you played against Larry Bird. You played against Michael Jordan. You fit the greatest players of all time. But like one of the reporters said, you're an executive now. Like you're on the level of the GM. You making those decisions. It's a different ball game. You can't smile and come to a meeting and show me a 5 rings and say, hey, this is why you got to play for the Lakers. Some people, that don't work for everybody. So Magic definitely has to, he said he'll step down, and then if he's not able to sign some key free agents in the next 2 years. So like I said, everybody's waiting on that 2019 draft class. That's the draft class where people are like, listen, not only could I draft somebody who can change my organization, I can sign a marquee free agent to turn my franchise around. Like I said, Kyrie, LeBron, AD, PG, if he doesn't sign a long-term deal. Kawhi, if he doesn't sign a long-term deal. Carmelo, D-Wade, if he stays another year. Giannis. Like, it's some heavy hitters in that 2019 free agency class. So, you know, but I was talking about, you know, some possibilities that Kawhi could go. You know, as far as LA, the Knicks, players like that. But Pop has said he's not going to trade with the Lakers. He doesn't care what they offer. He's not trading with the Lakers. And there was rumor going around that, you know, the Lakers have included Brandon Ingram, a future first round pick, but the Spurs want more. But another source said that the Lakers haven't included Ingram in any trade talks. And why would you? He's basically an unpolished Kevin Durant. Like, Brandon Ingram has the tangibles and the body frame to possibly be the next Kevin Durant. Now, that's a lot, saying a lot for comparing to arguably the second greatest player right now in the NBA. But Kevin Durant didn't come in doing that. Like, he get buckets, but now he's playing both ends of the floor, scoring effortlessly. He added the post game to his repertoire. Like, you know, like Kevin Durant was already an offensive genius, and he just added little things to it. So Brandon Ingram is still raw. There's some things he could learn, but he could definitely he's on pace to do it if he continues working on his craft. You know, it's not against the law to work out with people who are better than you. I'm sure Ingram, he's called Kevin Durant a couple times, like, hey, let's work out this offseason. Let show me what you did to get to where you're at now. Because if you're smart as a young player, that's what you want to do. You want to learn from the veterans. You want to learn from people who have accomplished much, who've won MVPs, who've won championships, who are multiple time all-stars. Like, don't run the well dry. Be smart. Learn from these guys. LeBron works out with KD. LeBron worked out with D-Wade. LeBron works out with Melo, Chris Paul. Those are his friends, but they on other teams. Learn. Get that from them. I'm just saying, if that was me, if I had the chances to be, you know, next up, the future of the NBA, I want to learn from the greats. But like I said, that's just me. So more free agency talk. Stephen A. Smith reported today on First Take that LeBron James has been texting Kevin Durant on the chances of teaming up. Now, the Bronnies know how I feel about LeBron James. I think he's a great player. I think he's a dope individual. Second greatest basketball player of all time. But when you're calling the second best player in the league talking about teaming up. Come on, son. Come on. Come on, LeBron. Please let this be a facade. Please let this just be one of those stories. When you hear it, you're just like, what? How could that be? Like, nah, that ain't me. LeBron, let this be one of those stories. Please. Please let this be one of those stories where it's just like, nah, he ain't say that. Nah, you know when your mans tell you something about somebody and you just like, and when you hear it, you like, you got that face like, nah, that ain't him. He wouldn't say that. Now, LeBron James has been keen on getting players to, you know, come to certain teams that he's on, maneuvering certain ways that his team could be stacked a little bit. So it's not something you could put past LeBron. But to text a player of Kevin Durant's caliber, that's not what a GOAT would do. My GOAT wouldn't do that. Michael Jordan wouldn't do that. That doesn't seem very GOAT-like at all. So it's, you know, a lot of people are saying LeBron James going to LA. LeBron James going to LA. His son is enrolled in school there, you know, but LeBron already has a crib in LA. So that doesn't really mean much. I mean, if players went to a team where they have a crib at, a lot of players would be in New York or LA, or they would be playing for the Miami Heat. I mean, everybody has a house in those major places. New York, LA, Miami, where else? Trying to think what's another popping place. I mean, if you live in New York, you probably got a spot in Brooklyn, so you're probably gonna play for the Brooklyn Nets. So I'm confused as to why or where Stephen A. even got that from. I'm not questioning his sources, but man, oh man, that's a hell of a thing to talk about. LeBron James texts Kevin Durant to join team. Now, it's stated that LeBron James is nervous about being the first star to commit to LA. Now, if you make other players better, your legacy's on the line, everybody wants to play with you, why not be the first domino to commit to LA and then have other people commit around you? It's probably because he wants a situation where it's already set up and all you have to do is add LeBron, missing piece, boom, bada, boom. But does he want youth around him? Because if you're getting LeBron James, you know you might have to give up Lonzo. You might have to give up Ingram, which would be a bad idea because Ingram is definitely going to be the truth. You might have to give up Kuz. You might have to trade Randle. You might have to give up some of those first-round picks that you have. You got to give up a lot to get LeBron. But I see why like LeBron doesn't want to commit because the Lakers are just young right now. Just young, no real identity. So what would be the benefit of going there? To be a veteran leader? LeBron could be a veteran leader on the Cavs. LeBron could be a veteran leader on the Sixers. Bad fit, but he could be a veteran leader on the Sixers. So is being a veteran leader the only thing he's looking for? Because that's the only thing the Lakers provide. And in a bigger market, but I mean, it's LeBron James already LeBron James. So you go to a bigger city, that market is going to explode. LeBron James in LA is going to be crazy. Listen, if he just wants a 1-year deal, Knicks, give him the bread. Give him the 1-year deal, Mills. Give him the 1-year deal, James Dolan. If LeBron just looks for a 1-year deal where he can just make some bread, enjoy himself. You know, LeBron's going to contend every year. So whatever team he goes to this offseason, it's going to work out for him. He said he might make his free agent decision by July 4th. And we all know LeBron James signs, the dominoes fall right after that. Everything will start falling in place. Boom, 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 boom. So, you know, there have been a lot of talk about the Lakers even have the possibility to land all three, Kawhi, LeBron, and PG. Do you know what type of team that would be? LeBron doesn't have to guard the best player every night. Kawhi can do that. Paul George can do that. Lonzo could. All three could play off the ball. That sounds like an ideal situation for LeBron. You could throw somebody on each one of the Warriors players. Kawhi on KD. Paul George on Steph. So it's looking good as far as, you know, LeBron to LA. But who knows what possibilities that could be as far as, you know, trading and things like that. Because the Spurs are not letting Kawhi Leonard go for nothing. Oklahoma City, they already knew Paul George opting out. But like I said earlier, opting out just means he can possibly get more money in a long-term deal, do a sign-and trade. All these things are open now. But and then there are other players like James Harden, your MVP, I'll get to that later, who have said, you know, the Rockets are fine the way they are. They don't need an extra player. James Harden, if the Houston Rockets can get LeBron James, you get LeBron James. Don't play with it. Don't try and say, oh, you know, how good you guys were. If the Warriors, who were 73-9, could get Kevin Durant and leap into the promised land, you swallow your pride, shave your beard, and get LeBron James. It just makes sense. It makes the most sense for all parties involved. LeBron James helps you take down the Warriors. LeBron James is out of the East. And the Rockets just coast to a championship. Because Chris Paul is getting that max deal. I'm sure he'll reconstruct his contract so they can sign LeBron. But you get that deal done. James Harden, don't be prideful. Because you played well off the ball this season. I give you that. I honestly thought the adjustment, getting CP3, would make James Harden less effective. He'd have to play off the ball. How could he do that? Blah, blah, blah. And boom, look what he does. He wins the MVP. So I like the way that, you know, that works out. You know, the Rockets team would be straight if they get LeBron James. The bench is fine. You know, they have the bench depth. Mike D'Antoni just doesn't play his bench too well. But you got a player of LeBron James caliber. Like I said, you add him to any team, they're automatically a contender. You add him to this Houston Rockets team, the way they are already set up, that's an automatic NBA Finals trip. I'm not even going to say they're going to win the chip, but I say you'll get to the Finals. Why? Because LeBron doesn't have to work as hard. He can play off the ball because he'll be playing with a smart point guard who won't allow LeBron James to take the ball out of his hand. Because we all know LeBron James' game, he diminishes the game of the point guards around him. Playing with Chris Paul, that's not going to happen. So LeBron James will be able to play off the ball, and the Rockets will basically be unstoppable. Basically, they'll single-handedly, they could run through the NBA if they add LeBron James. But it's a lot going into the free agency. Listen, man, I'm very excited. The players that are available is just, you know, like I said, 2019 is going to be a whirlpool. But this year could dictate a lot about next year. Because if a lot of those players, like I said, if the LeBrons, if the Kawhis, if the Paul George take long-term deals, 2019 is still going to be a monster year. But we're going to have, you know, less talent available in that. But, you know, free agency, like I said, starts July 1st. Right now, all we have is he said, she said, sources say. I've heard that maybe this person looking at this, maybe this person looking at that. We don't know. But free agency is going to be a doozy. But I'm looking forward to it. When we come back, I want to touch on, you know, the NBA awards they had just passed. So I want to get into the winners, who I thought was robbed, and who do we need to put some respect on their name? Because I hear people win an award and it's like, well, this person won this award because, or this person won this award who didn't truly deserve it. Listen, man, stop it. So I'll get to that. We'll return talking about more, you know, like I said, more NBA awards, the trades that happen along the way, the draft recap, talking about how my Knicks, how they did, how your favorite team might have done, you know, just pick out some quick ones. But like I said, keep it locked. This is Shoot the J Podcast with Jay Jenkins. Thanks for coming back. This is Shoot the J Podcast. I'm your host, Jay Jenkins. You can catch Shoot the J Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, the Anchor app. I'm everywhere. I'm just trying to, you know, give you guys the most platforms as possible to tune into the show. I really appreciate all the support I've been getting. But like I was saying, let's get back to it. When I left off, I was talking about free agency, where LeBron James might go, where he's thinking about going, his communications with Kevin Durant. That was a report first reported by Stephen A. Smith on First Take. I don't know how LeBron James feels about playing with Kevin Durant. I mean, I'm sure that will make the offensive load a lot easier. But, you know, sources have been saying LeBron James doesn't want to be the first superstar to commit to L.A. He wants to see, you know, if players like Kawhi go there, PG go there, and then he'll follow suit. So, you know, if that's how the GOAT talks, then, you know, he can be whoever's GOAT he wants to be. To me, he'll be the second greatest player of all time. But like I said, my previous show, GOAT talk is over. So, you know, if it's not about chasing rings right now and LeBron's just, you know, trying to enjoy his career, nice weather, relax, you know, play the sport he loves, then more power to him. But I like to think that the addition of Kevin, whatever team has LeBron and KD on it, I would just leave that to the imagination. So, like I was saying, when we left off, I was talking about the NBA awards. Want to get into that. I don't know. I just think the NBA awards are just weird. Like, present the awards after the season, not after the playoffs or the postseason. Like, because now people are going to start feeling this type of way. Like, you know, this person lasted longer in the playoffs, or this person did more in the playoffs. So it's just, it's weird. Like, and I liked it before where the MVP would be, you know, given to the MVP during the playoffs. If they made the playoffs, given to them during the playoffs, you know, they could showcase the trophy in front of their fans. Like, I think that was so dope. This NBA Awards thing seems like a knockoff BET Awards. Like, it's really up and down, left and right, here and there. Like I think it's cool, you know, the Lifetime Achievement Award, the Craig Segal Award. I think that's really dope for a specific time. Like, I didn't, like, it should be just that. Like no dead air, no commercial, anything like just reel off the winners. Like, let's do it like that. Like, I think that would be cool. But to have, you know, all these things in between and best style and best player, like, it's not the ESPYs. Like, it's the NBA awards. Like, let's kiss it. Keep it simple, stupid. Nothing more, nothing less. Give me the individual awards, executive of the year, you know, awards like that really matter. Executive of the year, coach of the year, Segar Strong Award, the Lifetime Achievement Award. Those are dope awards. But when you start going any and everywhere, best style, best play, best to play, best number on the back of jersey, those things, it's like throwing me off. Like, let's just get right into it. So, some awards that were received that didn't really shock me, but, you know, we're cool. Victor Oladipo won Most Improved. Obviously, his game has elevated now that he's the number one option in Indiana. So, that was a no-brainer. Duh. And that's where the award show started, the award selection started getting a little doozy for me. So Rudy Gobert takes home Defensive Player of the Year. How? I mean, he's obviously the anchor of the Jazz, but he wasn't playing that often. He wasn't doing as much as Anthony Davis was. So, I mean, the only thing he had over Joel Embiid is the number of games played. So obviously that was what put Joel Embiid down in the totem pole. But as far as Defensive Player of the Year, it's definitely Anthony Davis. Playing both sides, you would think his defensive numbers would take a dip. Someone who's strictly focused on defense and someone who's playing both ends of the floor, the person who's strictly defense numbers should outweigh heavily the person who has to play offense and defense. And Anthony Davis' numbers were either up there or better. So Anthony Davis, that was the first snub I saw of the year. of the award show. Anthony Davis should have won Defensive Player of the Year. Next award, no brainer. Like I said, the awards fluctuated. Like it was like, okay, I can see that. No, yeah, that's definite. Maybe. So Lou Williams was definite Sixth Man of the Year. Like that was easy, no brainer. He's been cooking for the Clippers that whole time off the bench. So that was an easy selection. We had Coach of the Year, who I at that point. Dwayne Casey wins it with his peers. So I'm like, okay, cool, that's dope. Gets fired. So I'm like, oh, well, the NBA can't give it to him again because, you know, he got let go. How could the coach of the year be fired? Even though it's happened, George Karl won coach of the year, got fired. So I'm like, well, there's no way Dwayne Casey could win it. And Brad, look what Brad Stevens is doing. He had that young team. Within a game of the NBA Finals, so he has the Coach of the Year locked up. And Dwayne Casey wins Coach of the Year. Thank God he got a job with the Detroit Pistons prior to, because that would have been rough. After Stan McGrenny got let go, Dwayne Casey gets the job. So I was just like, whew. All right. Catastrophe averted, because I was nervous. So good thing he got that taken care of. So he wins Coach of the Year. So now I'm like, okay, here we go with the big snubs. First, there was already some snubs, but huge snub of the night. And the only snub I feel like, Ben Simmons wins the Rookie of the Year. Now, don't get me wrong, because Blake Griffin sat out a whole year and he won Rookie of the Year. But Ben Simmons didn't choose to sit out the whole year. The Sixers organization decided to keep him out. So Ben Simmons was healthy enough to play. The Sixers just were nervous and decided not to have him play. Now, I'm sure a Sixers fan's going to come gonna comment and be like, well, that's not it. Ben Simmons was okay to play. He got hurt in Summer League or whatever. Nothing too catastrophic where he had to miss the whole season. So around, I believe it was around the All-Star break, he could have played, but the Sixers just decided to hold him out and play him next year, which means he was already learning stuff, and he had the physical ability to do so. Just chose not to. Donovan Mitchell, cooking with grease, lottery pick, dogging, doing everything for his team, being a number one option. They lose Rodney Hood. They lose Ricky Rubio. Rudy Gobert goes down, you know, in and out during the season. And he gets them to, I believe it was the fifth seed, I believe it was. Yeah, I think they were the fifth seed because they were playing, yeah. They were the fifth. Basically, the Jazz had no reason to be in the playoffs. They lost Gordon Hayward. Everybody thought their hopes and dreams were shattered. And Donovan Mitchell puts them on his back, gets them to the playoffs. What other rookie you know is doing that? What other rookie knows doing that? Because Jason Tatum, he was doing it. Ben Simmons played on a team that got to the finals. I mean, got to the playoffs. But Embiid was playing well. J.J. Redick was cooking. Like, that was a team effort. Donovan Mitchell was a leading scorer, distributing the ball well, playing great defense. Listen, if anybody was robbed during the NBA Awards, it was definitely Donovan Mitchell. He is the Rookie of the Year. He should have won it. I would have been okay with co-Rookie of the Years. Because it's not like it hasn't been done. It's been done before. They could, if they would have went with co-Rookies of the Year, nobody would have batted an eye. It would have been like, yep, I can see that happening. That's dope. But, you know, so it doesn't happen. They don't get co-rookie of the year. Ben Simmons wins it. I never throw shade. You know, if you win an award, you win an award. Cool. But I always have my opinion. I'm like, yo, you should not have. Like, this is why this should have happened. But, you know, I think it would just have been better if they made him co-rookie of the years. No, like I said, nobody would have been mad. Nobody would have been tight. This, that, third. But, you know, Ben Simmons gets it. Just more motivation for Donovan Mitchell to, you know, do something else even greater. you know, make an all-star team, take a team to the playoffs again, winning multiple playoff series, getting to a conference finals, like little things like that. So we'll see. But the biggest award of the night, the MVP, which I said in the beginning of the season, and I'll say it again, was going to James Harden. And people thought, nah, it's another year you can give it to LeBron. Not this year, people. The beard James Harden takes home the hardware MVP. Crazy enough, he is the third player of that trio between KD, Russ, and himself, all drafted by Sam Presti. I saw 30 for 30. People like who youngsters or like young millennials, you telling me like, yo, I remember a time there was Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, and James Harden on the same team, and they look at you and be like, nah, that's impossible. How could that be? And then you just go on your little phone, go on YouTube, go on Google, show them and be like, yep, here it is. And then they would just have to sit there in awe and be like, wow, like, how is that possible? And just be astounded, like, wow, like, those three were really on the same team at one point in time. But, you know, James Harden wins the MVP, easy decision, but it's come with a lot of flack. I've heard people call, you know, James Harden winning the award, it was easy to give it to him because he was the second best player on the best team. I was like, wait, what? I.e., he was the second best player in the league on the first best team. So LeBron's the best player, the most valuable, but because his team didn't have the success James Harden's team had, they skipped LeBron and gave it to James Harden. You hear that nonsense? Oh, LeBron James led in this category, in this category, in this category. Why isn't he the MVP? Look at the team he took to the finals. Why isn't he the MVP? James Harden couldn't even lead the Rockets past Warriors in a game 7. Why is he the MVP? He's the MVP because, like I said prior to break, put some respect on his name. James Harden is this year's MVP because his team played well, and he was a catalyst for that. He put up the numbers, and it was straight-up consistency. He's been doing it for the last 4 years. Why does he only have one MVP trophy? James Harden should at least have two. Maybe three if you want to be funny with it. The first year of Steph Curry with it, James Harden should have won it. That triple-double season, it was cool. Like, that's cute or whatever. You know, most triple-doubles to average triple-double, most triple-doubles in the season, that's cool. But the Thunder was still the sixth seed. James Harden by himself, took the Rockets team to the third. They were the sixth seed the year before when Steph was unanimous. The next season, they were the third seed with just James Harden by himself. But the triple-doubles was enough to put him over the hump. So this season, he does it again, missing only 10 games because of injury. Best team in the league, and now we're giving him flack for it. James Harden deserved the MVP. LeBron James played well, but he played well in the second half of the season. It wasn't a full season thing. James Harden delivered all season long. Now I want to rattle off some numbers to you. I'm gonna say the year. I'm gonna rattle off the numbers. Then I'm gonna tell you who won the MVP. All right. So in 2010, I'm gonna give you the numbers. 2010, the points were 2,400 points to 2,200 points. The rebounds were 600 rebounds to 500 rebounds. The assists were 200 assists to 600 assists. Triple doubles was 0 to 4. Games played was 82 to 76. Field goal percentage was 46 to 56. 3-point percentage was 36 to 33. And the free throw percentage was 90 to 76. Now, from what I said, you would assume the first numbers I gave off would be the MVP. In 2010, LeBron James won MVP, and his numbers were less than Kevin Durant's. So let's go. I'm gonna go to 2012, the numbers go as 1,800 points to 1,600, 500 rebounds to 492 rebounds, 231 assists to 300 assists, zero triple doubles for each. Then it was 66 games played to 62 games played. From 3-point percentage, 38% to 36%. Free throws, 86% to 77. Now, off those numbers, I would think the left side won again. No, LeBron James won MVP in 2012. Whose numbers did I say? Whose was the first column of numbers? Kevin Durant. How about I do 2013? Last time. 2,200 points to 2,000 points. 640 rebounds to 610 rebounds. 374 assists to 500 assists. 3 triple doubles to 4 triple doubles. Field goal percentage, 51% to 56%. 3-point percentage, 43% to 40%. Free throw, 90% to 75%. So this player not only scored 2,000 points in the season, was a part of the 50-40-90 club. They had one less triple-double. Now, I would assume after that, the person on the left is definitely the MVP. Nope. LeBron James wins the MVP yet again. Against whose numbers? Kevin Durant. So I don't want to hear all the hoopla about LeBron James. One had the best total amount of points, total rebounds, total assists. He played more games, had more triple-doubles. No. James Harden was either right behind him or leading in those categories because James Harden led the league in scoring. James Harden was second in assists. James Harden was top 10 in steals. Like, stop the nonsense. His team was number one overall. Let's put some respect on James Harden's name. He's earned it. He deserved it. Now, like I said in the prior statement, him saying that the Rockets were just a half away from advancing to NBA Finals, they need LeBron James. Screw that. Get LeBron James if you can get him. Don't lie to yourself. Don't let pride get in the way. But James Harden is this year's MVP. He earned it. I'm not going to fall into that facade, oh, we can give LeBron James the MVP every year, blah, 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 just that third. Hootenanny. James Harden earned it. He put his team on his back, led them to the Western Conference Finals, one game away from the NBA Finals. If everything went correctly and Houston was fully healthy, they'd be in the finals, and they definitely would have obliterated the Rockets. I mean, they definitely would have obliterated the Cavs. But like I said, James Harden is this year MVP because he played his ass off. He earned it. Stop trying to discredit him because the numbers you've given for this year against LeBron and James Harden, people can give those numbers for LeBron versus KD, LeBron versus D-Wade, LeBron versus Kobe. Like, all those numbers are there. Let's put some respect on his beer. All right, can we do that? Can we do that at least? I'm enjoying this. I'm kicking it with you guys. Talking about NBA awards. When we get back, I definitely want to dive into the draft recap. Talk about some players who I felt were, you know, too high expectations. My Knicks, who they were able to grab. And I want to finish, you know, the show off talking about trades, possible trade destinations for certain players, maybe certain sign and trade deals that could, you know, possibly come along. But yeah, just keep it locked. This is Shoot the J Podcast. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Shoot the J Podcast. When I left off, like I was saying, I was talking about free agency. I was talking about the NBA award. I want to do a quick recap on the NBA draft for those who may have missed it. To rattle off the top five, DeAndre Ayton went number one. Marvin Bagley went number two. Luka Doncic went number three. Jaren Jackson went number four. And Trae Young went number five. So those round out, you know, top five. DeAndre Ayton, foregone conclusion, definitely was going number one overall. Big body, defensive anchor that you can insert into the lineup right away and who will make an immediate impact. I like the combination of him and Devin Booker. There were some crazy comparisons to like Shaq and Kobe. I think that's very premature. But when you can have the inside-outside game with today's NBA, you can dictate the whole mode of the game, the whole tempo of the game. You can go inside, outside. You know, Devin Booker can kill you from outside. DeAndre Ayton seems to be a beast, on inside the paint. So, you know, learning from playing with players like, you know, Joel Embiid over the summer, it can only strengthen his game. So I like that obvious number one overall pick. Marvin Bagley, I got a chance to meet with him, talk with him in the he had a Mountain Dew clinic that he was, him and Joel Embiid were the two NBA stars that showed up. So looking very excited for his future in Sacramento. They're piling up the young guns. They just need, you know, a little more veteran leadership and just some more time for them to, you know, progress, improve. So Sacramento is they're hitting well on these, on the draft picks. Not one that's franchise changing, but they have some key young core pieces who, you know, if healthy and, you know, find a way to mesh well, can be long-term success for the Sacramento Kings. The surprise of the night, Luka Doncic. So apparently the Hawks planned on, drafting Luka, and they decided to do a trade with the Mavericks to have the Mavericks select Trae Young, and then it would be a trade. So I thought that was pretty cool. So basically, the Mavs would choose Trae Young for the Hawks, and then they would trade for Luka Doncic. So that's exactly what happened. Luka Doncic, you know, had a lot of hype coming out of EuroLeague. Now, I think that's, you know, dope, 6'9", point guard. Last time we seen one of those in the 80s, his name was Magic Johnson. Right now, we're seeing it with Ben Simmons. So the comparison I had, I felt like Luka Doncic was a more polished Ricky Rubio. Now, I don't feel like he should have went top three. Top three is a stretch. Like, but there were a lot of things that, there were a lot of sources that say, you know, the Suns hired one of his old coaches. So that was something. Vlade Divac loves players from overseas. So that was another thing. So his name was looming in the top three. But it was the zany Mark Cuban who decided to pull the trigger and make that go forward. So they draft him. My initial reaction was, wow, they got the point guard, but didn't they just draft Dennis Smith Jr.? Like, how's that going to work with them in the backcourt? But Dennis Smith Jr. can play off the ball, so that works. Luka Doncic can also play off the ball because he can shoot, known shooter. So that backcourt tandem should be pretty good. The youth is going to be key. Luka Doncic is only 19. I believe Dennis Smith Jr. just turned 20. So the youth is on their side. So that's, you know, Mark Cuban's whole process was, you know, getting younger and allowing Dirk to, you know, go off into the sunset. Dirk taking pay cuts so they can sign key players. So with that, they're starting fresh. They have Harrison Barnes, whose game elevates to the next level. So things are progressively getting better for the Mavs. They're not what they used to be when, you know, the Mavs were in the playoffs. Like, they were as consistent as the Spurs when it came to playoffs. Not championships, but the Mavs. Anytime you look, the Mavs are in the conversation for, you know, playoff teams. So, you know, they've fallen off a little bit towards there, but to get, you know, back in the right direction. They've drafted Luka, signed Harrison Barnes 2 years ago, drafted Dennis Smith Jr. They're possibly going after DeAndre Jordan, but that's for later in the show. So, Mavs looking right. Memphis Grizzlies, they drafted Jaren Jackson now. I don't feel like it bolstered their lineup that much, but it helps. You know, it gives Marcus Gasol help in the front court. Mike Conley's going to be Mike Conley. Consistent. Health is only his issue. So they could have taken a guard early on to help out with that, but they decided to go big, give Marcus Gasol some help. And the Grizzlies were trying to ship that number four pick. You know, they hosted a lot of teams. Knicks were a possible trade. I know there was another team that was trying to move Chandler Parsons' contract so they could be more serious in free agency, but nobody took the trade. They ended up drafting Jackson, so who knows? Maybe they'll end up moving Jackson as long as they can move Chandler Parsons' deal, because that seems like the biggest flaw right now on their roster, that player, that contract. So I definitely, you know, it'll be one of those sleeper trades that if they're able to pull that off. And my surprise of the night, Trae Young going number 5 overall to Atlanta Hawks. I feel like he was a bit overrated. I don't think he should be that high. I don't think he should have been drafted that high. It just didn't really make much sense. Phenomenal player. Can shoot from deep. NBA long range. Steph Curry comparisons. But very short. Could be a liability on defense. Dennis Schroeder's already the point guard there. So how do you continue to, you know, help Dennis Schroeder improve his game, take his game to the next level while drafting a point guard? Now, the coach said that they'll find time. They'll split time on the court. Dennis Schroeder had the green light last year, so he didn't have to worry about, you know, okay, if I do this wrong, like, this person's going to replace me, just that third. Now with Trae Young looming, it's like, okay, you could play him at the same time, but we haven't really seen Dennis Schroeder play off the ball. You know, he had Cam Bazemore, someone who can't really create their own shot, but, you know, is a good shooter. He had Torian Prince, John Collins, like, people who need to be set up to do things. Trae Young doesn't need to be set up. He can create his own shot. So with the Migos Offset and Quavo, and, you know, that group backing it up, Atlanta was just like, all right, cool, let's make it happen. I'm sure there were other things, but, you know, as soon as they were drafted, Migos sent out the tweet congratulating him. I think, you know, being that high definitely puts a lot more of a burden on Trae Young's shoulders, because mock drafts had him going 9th. 10th, maybe falling out of the top 10. So to be selected number 5 is a huge deal. I feel like, you know, leading the league, I mean, leading the nation in scoring and assists is a huge thing. So it's definitely, his game will translate to the next level. But most times in your game translates, it's like, okay, like, that's cool, but what are the negatives? Like, don't just focus on, you know, the positive. Like, okay, yeah, he can shoot. That goes with you everywhere. Cool. But you got to be able to create your own shot. You have to be able to, you know, play in a system. You know, when most of these star players have the green light in college, so they don't know, you know, they tend to disappear when they're, you know, not featured in the offense. Or they tend to disappear where, you know, if they're not getting the ball, how can they contribute on the other end? Like, they sometimes they don't have the, you know, the talent to do that, to adjust. So I think that would be one of his main issues, finding other ways to contribute if his shot isn't falling. But I want to skip down to my Knicks, who had the, I believe it was the 9th overall pick. Some games we won down the stretch, didn't help us out too much, but I digress. So we selected Kevin Knox out of Kentucky. At first, I was nervous. I was just like, come on, son. Like, Knicks, you had one job. Michael Porter Jr. was obviously the obvious choice that a lot of fans wanted. A lot of fans wanted. But we selected Kevin Knox out of Kentucky. So when I heard the name, I was like, that's not Michael Porter Jr. I was upset. But then, you know, as Knicks fans, we tend to overthink things. We are prisoners of the moment. So being a prisoner of the moment, I was upset. I was like, come on. Last year, we got it wrong with Frank Ntilikina. This year, we got it wrong with Kevin Knox. And then I decided to sit down and analyze and just try and think, okay, what does this guy have to offer before I throw him to the Wolves? So first off, he's a 6'9 small forward. We need more versatility on the wings. So that was a plus. I was like, okay, cool. He came into the league. One of his strengths was being a versatile shooter and slasher. So I was like, that game translates well to the modern day NBA. Like, there's a difference when a game translates to the NBA, because if you can shoot, you're going to make it to NBA. If you can defend, you can make it to NBA. If you can facilitate, you can make it to NBA. Like, that's cool. But the modern day NBA is spot up shooters, 3-and-D, and fast paced players. Point blank period. Like the bigs are necessary. Don't get me wrong. You need that anchor in the paint, but bigs are now playing inside and outside. They can hit the 3-point. They can facilitate better. Like we've seen a lot of big men who can pass now, who can run offense. You know, Draymond Green's, DeMarcus Cousins can pass. Joakim Noah used to be that type of player where he can get the ball at the top of the key and he can make backdoor passes. Like, things like that are necessary. So the modern day NBA, Kevin Knox game translates well in the gym range. So for Knicks perspective, we already have Tim Hardaway Jr. on the wing. We have Courtney Lee on the wing. Mike Bees is on the wing. So a lot of these players are on the wing. So Kevin Knox, I feel like the addition of him is not going to throw off the team like Vong Shui. Like, it's going to work. You know, I trust David Fizdale to make those adjustments, put him in the opportunities where he'll be most successful. We see Frank Ntilikina, you know, getting bigger, getting stronger. So hopefully he can add on to that. But I mean, overall, I want to give the Knicks an A minus because they also drafted Frank Robinson, I believe it is, and Enes Kanter. You know, as soon as he got drafted, he was leaning towards opting in because he wants to work with him. 7-foot guy. So I like the Knicks first. Their draft, give a solid A minus. I really want to see what they're looking like. You know, I don't know how successful I want them to be, because next year's draft class is going to be stacked. You know, Zion Williamson, the majority of the Duke starting five is going to be in the draft next year. Kentucky has some wild boys. You know, Villanova's always had players who are ready for the next level, Kentucky. So, you know, I want us to do well, because also doing well makes 2019, like I said earlier in the show, that free agency class, they want to see progression. Like, a lot of stars don't want to come in, be that guy, and then lead a team. They want to see you have an established product. And like, okay, if you add me, this is championship contender. If you add me, we go over the hump. Like, that's what free agents are looking for nowadays. Like, they're not looking for projects, because in the NBA, playing career is low. Like, God forbid catastrophic injuries, it's even shorter than that. So they're looking for established products. The Knicks need to show some form of that. Hey, we may not be the best team in the East, but we're working towards it. We add you, we add another key piece, and now we are playoff bound. We are contenders. That's what free agents want to see. So it should be cool. The main draftee that we all were looking at and end up falling to 14th overall, Michael Porter Jr., went to the Denver Nuggets. Like I said, I was sad that the Knicks didn't select Michael Porter Jr. But with the Knicks history, Knicks luck with the basketball gods, we couldn't take another chance on someone who was injury prone. It would have been, you know, we would have drafted him. There would have been cheers in the crowd. And then, God forbid, he got hurt during the season. It would have been typical Knicks. Falling in love with the name that the crowd wanted, that other people wanted, and not what was good for the organization. So Michael Porter Jr. dropping to 14th is a shock, but at the same time, the serious injuries that he had, he kind of did himself in. So with that, Michael Porter Jr. definitely, I think if healthy, because like before his injury, he was top three in his draft class. Like he was supposed to be either number one or he wouldn't fall out the top five. So due to this injury, kind of scared a lot of teams. Like his agent had reported, he started giving out his medical reports to lottery teams because at that point it was like, well, he didn't get any, you know, any notifications that he would be taking the top 10. So it was like, okay, like, all right, I got to give these out to other people. Like, it's important. So gives it out to other teams. He gets selected by Denver Nuggets. Now the Denver Nuggets have a loaded team. Jamal Murray. They have who they trade. Oh, they signed Paul Millsap. They have bigs. Will Barton, like players who are stepping up. So, and they're one game out of making the playoffs yet again. So, Denver's on the rise in the West. Scrappy team. So you add Michael Porter Jr. Maybe he could be that piece that, you know, that youthful piece that helps them, you know, get into the playoffs. And then that's where rookies learn. Like they learn during the regular season. But the playoffs is a different animal, and it's good to get that, you know, experience early. So players like Donovan Mitchell and the Utah Jazz, they're going to be a lot better because of that experience. Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, they're going to be a lot better because of that experience. You know, rookies who get a chance to taste that early, it's very beneficial. So Knicks, can we get KP some playoff experience, please, and not watching the game? Can he play in it? That'd be nice. I would enjoy seeing the Knicks in the playoffs. So we'll see with that. But I want to close the show talking about trades. So like I said earlier, the Mavericks are looking to pursue DeAndre Jordan yet again, this time trading with him. Free agency didn't work, obviously, as we know from that fiasco, you know, the Twitter wars. He was went to Blake Griffin's house. They had a Twitter war. Basically, Blake Griffin put, you know, a picture of him up, a picture up of him putting jamming the chair under the doorknob, saying he's not leaving. It's at third, so he ends up signing. So he ends up staying with the Clippers, and then just like dominoes, they all fall. Chris Paul gets traded. Blake Griffin gets traded. JJ Redick signs with the Sixers. Leaving DeAndre Jordan in the Clippers locker room with cobwebs and his former teammates' lockers. So the Mavs are looking to pursue him to bolster up their front court with him and Dirk. We'll see how that works. But the reason why the Mavs are looking into that is because recently Doc Rivers had stepped down as being the general manager of the – oh, not general manager, the VP of like basketball operations. He promoted Lawrence Frank to that title, and it was news for a couple of days that Austin Rivers had been traded from the Clippers. So daddy's little boy was traded. I was saying on Facebook, when you get your dad the same terrible gift on Father's Day, you are untouchable. And then he got a tie for the third consecutive year, and he said, yeah, you could trade him now. So he was traded to the Wizards for Marcin Gortat, which frees up the center role for the Wizards, who could possibly go after, you know, Dwight Howard. They could also sign, you know, DeAndre Jordan or do, you know, whatever works for them. But yeah, Dwight Howard, who's reaching a buyout with the Brooklyn Nets, can go sign there, and then, you know, that could be His thing for, you know, connect with John Wall, Bradley Beal. Definitely a better situation than Charlotte. And, you know, Austin Rivers gives them another piece off their bench, because we all know the Wizards, their bench has always been their struggles. They didn't have someone who can, you know, keep the offensive flow up. Gortat going to the Clippers basically is like an insurance piece in case DeAndre Jordan gets traded or whatever happens with him. So Guatata is a nice little piece you can throw in there. And yeah, it's just there's a lot more trades that could possibly go down. Cavs have been looking at, you know, players like Kemba. They're going to extend the qualifying offer to Rodney Hood. And it was breaking news that LeBron James had opted out of his contract, which we already knew. So it's not – that wasn't, like, something that was like, oh, my God. Like, LeBron – like, obviously, LeBron James opting out. But it kind of just – it limits the way certain teams can move now, i.e., you know, the Rockets. They had to – in order for that to work, it had to be, like, a sign-and-trade. So by LeBron James opting out, he's going to get, like, a supermax contract. He turned down $35.5 million. So – his next contract, whatever it is going to be 40 million up. So it's going to be 1 year or multiple years. So that, you know, opens the door for players like, for teams like the Lakers, the Sixers, who feel like their favorite. Both feel like if they can sign Kawhi, it will help get LeBron to, you know, be in their favor. So, and the Cavs still have a realistic shot to retain LeBron James because they'll have the money, his bird rights. So obviously they can go over the salary cap to add, to re-sign him, unrestricted free agent. So we'll see. But summer and, you know, summer league roster, I mean, summer league schedule just came out. So we'll get to see, you know, you'll get to see your favorite, draft, your favorite team's draft pick play. They start off with Atlanta versus Memphis, NBA TV, Trae Young in his first action. We'll get to see the first number on the overall pick on Friday against Dallas. So that'll be Luka Doncic's first time lacing them up. So it's a star-studded summer league. Looking forward to that. And NBA is just getting started, man. NBA is just getting started. On Sunday, it's going to be rough. Not only is Power coming back, but it's going to be rough. The first, you know, we'll see if the first domino falls July 1st. We'll see who signs where, who's been contemplating what. But, you know, LeBron James' camp has said that he's thinking about acknowledging or announcing where he's signing July 4th. So we'll see. Should be interesting, very interesting. But yeah, so just stay tuned in. We'll have breaking news as far as things like that. And, you know, I have some pop-up shows because, you know, I can't, you know, when news is that crazy or, you know, that they're breaking all the time, I got to do some pop-up shows. So you might see Shoot the J drop on a Monday. You might see Shoot the J drop on a Thursday, on a Saturday. You're like, wait a minute, we're getting a special show? So yeah, special shows might drop, you know, depending on the news that comes around. But like I said, continue supporting. You can catch Shoot the J podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, the Anchor app. Continue listening, continue showing love and support. I appreciate every one of my listeners. It's been fun. We're still going strong. So until next time, this is Shoot the J Podcast with your host, Jay Jenkins.